In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, the gospel reading today reminds me, and I'm sure many of us, reminds me of another gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew, from a parable that Jesus gives, the parable of the lost sheep, where Jesus says that a shepherd, if somebody had 100 sheep and he lost one, would he not leave the 99 behind and go and search for the one that was lost and then find him and carry him on his shoulders and take him back to the pasture? Think about that for a second. Would a shepherd leave 99 sheep behind alone and go after one that was lost? Logically speaking, actually, no. When Jesus says, would you not leave 99 and go find the one that was lost? Actually, no, I would not, probably. That doesn't seem like it's the most logical thing to do. It's not common sense to do that. Jesus speaks of it as if it's common sense. I'm not disagreeing with Jesus. But I'm going to get to my point. In the gospel reading today, something similar is going on. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Sorry, I don't know that that's the case either, actually. I don't know any shepherds. I've just met my first when I was in Iraq, but nevertheless, from my understanding, shepherds would not lay down their lives for the sheep. These are sheep. These are simple agricultural animals. They are there to serve a purpose. They're a means to an end. They're not children. They're not human persons that are worth dying for. Again, in the gospel reading, Jesus says, He calls them by their names. Shepherds do not name their sheep. They are simple animals. So what is Jesus really saying here? What is the gospel reading about? It's a contrast between a good shepherd and a wolf. And this is not an image that Jesus invents on his own. It's actually in the Old Testament in many parts, most notably in the prophet Ezekiel chapter 34. God says to the leaders, the religious leaders of Israel, he says, I have set you as shepherds over my people and you have become wolves. I have set you as shepherds to feed my sheep, but you have become wolves that eat my sheep. This gospel reading is about the nature of Christian leadership. What does it mean in Christianity to have authority? Jesus says, again, in another part of the gospel, whoever would be first among you must be your servant. Whoever would be greatest among you must be your slave. Do not be like the Gentiles who lord their authority over others. You must be a servant. And then he says, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's not logical for a shepherd to name his sheep, to lay down his life for his sheep, to leave 99 just to go after one. Because for a shepherd, sheep are just assets. It's just money. And you don't risk losing 99% of your money just to find 1% of it again. That's not a good gamble. But Jesus does not treat us like we're cattle. Jesus does not treat us like we're mere animals. And Jesus is teaching us not to see each other that way as well. What's the difference between a shepherd and a wolf? A wolf sees sheep, or let's say a wolf sees human beings as means for his own end. They are food for him. But a shepherd sees human beings, his sheep, a shepherd sees people as good in their own right, creatures that are created in the image and likeness of God, unique instances of the love of God, created for God's glory and for the edification of the world, and for their own life in God and their own enjoyment. What Jesus is saying by saying, I name my sheep, I call my sheep, I go after my sheep, I lay down my life for my sheep. What Jesus is saying is that every single one of us are worth infinitely more than we think we are. Every single one of us is a unique person worthy of the love of Christ. And indeed, Jesus does lay down his life for us. This is why in the epistle reading, St. Paul says, don't abuse a brother. Don't cause scandal to a brother for whom Christ died. And that's what St. Paul and that's what our Lord is trying to teach us to look at each other as. Those who have been saved by the blood of Christ. Jesus is saying, you and everybody around you is worth the blood of the Son of God. It's a unique instance of God, of God's love. It's a unique expression of the Word of God. And so therefore is a person in his own right that deserves the dignity of somebody created in God's image. That it's not logical for a shepherd to lay down his life for his sheep. It's not common sense. It doesn't make sense to us that he would leave 99 just to go find one. Speaks to the nature of Christian love. Christian love is not rational. Christian love is not something that we can reduce to our understanding. It is far beyond our understanding. What we're called to do in our lives, the way we're called to behave, the way God teaches us to treat one another is far beyond what is logical. And so many conversations are had between people that believe in Jesus, and they'll say, well, this thing is not fair to you, and so therefore be free to cut this person out of your life. Be free to take vengeance out on this person. You were treated unjustly. Be very free and very justified in doing the same thing back. That's logical. That's Old Testament thinking. That is a classical way of thinking. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth is a quote from the Old Testament. But Jesus comes and brings us more. The Old Testament is fine, but Jesus comes and he calls us to a higher standard, something that goes far beyond rationality, far beyond logic. So Jesus says, in saying this, Jesus is telling every single one of us to follow his example. And being a shepherd and being willing to lay down one's life, he is calling us to love beyond what is common sense and beyond what the world would say would be logical. That is Christian love. This is why Jesus, in the Gospel of John, a little bit later, Jesus says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he says, I have called you friends. So, if the world's understanding of, let's say, relationships is everything has to be perfectly fair, the world always is going to be the wolf, because life in this world is absolutely unfair, and it always will be. And the reason for that is because sin exists and we're not going to escape it. We're not going to force the world into justice. We're not going to force other people into justice. And the more we try to force it, the more we're going to frustrate ourselves, and the more we have to delve into violence in order to get our way, in order to enforce fairness. But then we become the ones that are unfair. We become the ones that are corrupt. We become the ones that are violent people. And we become the most unjust out of everybody. The way out of it all is love. Go beyond fairness. Go beyond justice. Go beyond rationality and logic. And be a shepherd. Be willing to lay down your life for the good of those whom God has put in your life to be sheep, to be beloved. Brothers and sisters, it's a high calling, Christianity, but it's a noble one. And it's not one that we can achieve on our own. It is one that can be lived only by being transformed from a wolf into a shepherd by the grace of God. And so, God calls us to something that we can't do alone, and therefore calls us first and foremost to prayer, wherein he will give us the grace and transform us into becoming people like Jesus Christ, who are willing to lay down their lives for others, even those who harm us. St. Paul says in Corinthians, a really nice line that expresses this, I think, perfectly. He says, is there no one wise among you to judge what is right? But brother goes up against brother in court, and that in front of Gentiles. And what he's saying is this. In Corinth, this city that St. Paul was writing this letter to, in Corinth, there were Christians, brothers in Christ, suing each other in front of the Roman court, in front of Gentiles. St. Paul is saying, is there no one wise among you Christians, you followers of Christ, that can make judgments and settle issues among you guys? But you guys are suing each other. And then he says a line that I think is absolutely key, and I want you to take it home with you. Why not rather be wronged? That's a beautiful line. Why not rather be wronged? Instead of suing your brother in Christ, instead of doing harm to somebody who Jesus died for, why not rather take the hit for the sake of that person? Is that logical? No. Is that rational? Absolutely not. Does that make sense? No. Is it common sense? No way. Is that the way the world thinks? No. But that is love. And love is that measure by which we will be judged. Let us follow that route so that we can better imitate Jesus, who was wronged, and in accepting being wronged out of love for God and out of love for us who wronged him, has saved us. Amen.